Lessons learned from my bear hunting, multi-time CEO immigrant father. He was a hunter of grizzly bears, a man born into nothing, a man who labored at a slaughterhouse, who built things with his hands until they bled and calloused, who cut stone and led teams, who built businesses and eventually sold them, who created his own path, a man who was just as likely to be skiing avalanche routes alongside the Olympic team as he was surfing the Mexican coast or taking a little girl to her 587th softball game. Shoes. They can be hard to fill. They can turn into caverns your tootsies are just too damn small to snuggle into. I feel that way at times with my father. How can a human live as many lives as he has? No surprise, he's a superhero in my eyes. A giant of a man, an honest 5'10", but a weaver of stories and a liver of lives too big to stand small. Why am I talking about my father? Well, someone asked me today, what does it take to do what you've done, Cody? I always chuckle at that. I'm no one special. Very mediocre, still on my grind, prone to way too many grammatical errors in this here newsletter, and a cacophony of Latina outbursts that I will never admit to my husband are at times maybe, potentially, could be seen as slightly irrational. Yet, I've been pondering what it means to be a leader of humans. In a time where our country and corporations seem devoid of leaders, I'm going to do my second series on leadership from humans I've been blessed to be led by. If you want the first, it's from my former Navy SEAL, current badass, spotlight-hating, selfie-avoiding, hairy-chested husband. The second is on the other main man of my life, my father. My belief is you too will learn, and the lessons he rubbed off on me just may touch you. So today, in less than 10 minutes, we're going to dive into 9 lessons on leadership that have changed my life, stories that traveled through time, and 3 tweets that made people lots of money in boring businesses. Rules from a man among men. Rule number 1, not armed and dangerous, armed because the world is dangerous. He was approximately 4,235 miles away from the desert he was born into. The scent of creosote was replaced with the smell of the rain. Welcome to Kodiak, Alaska, where the only thing bigger than the tall stories were the bears that often entered them. My father and his hunter, he was guiding, were hundreds of miles from another human under the forever sky. They'd camped by a winding river, their 2 plastic tents the only protection from Mother Nature. On this night, it was cloudy. Clouds are different in Alaska. They mean no moon and no stars. A night so black you might miss your hand in front of your face. My father slept soundly in the wilderness. He'd grown up in them. On this night, though, sleeping was about to be not an option. In the vast silence, a noise broke his slumber, a chuffing, as heavy breath filled the air. His arms felt the hair stand upon them. Chills ran down his legs as he sat listening to his items being ruffled through. Only one animal makes those sounds, and it's not a friend. As the sounds came closer and closer, the only thought in his head was, I'm not going to die hiding in this goddamn tent. He slipped on a headlamp, grabbed his gun, made specifically to create big holes in big bears. Funny fact about bears. During mating season, when their musk permeates, you can actually smell them before you can see them. The bear's musky scent began to permeate his tent. The distance had closed. He was out of options. But my father is a hunter, and before he got hunted, he was damn sure about to hunt back. Imagine a flashlight in the middle of the ocean. It's a pin of light fighting the darkness. He turned his tiny light as his gun tracked it, hoping to see the bear before the bear saw him. As he fully unzipped his tent to the right, he looked straight into the face of a bear who had decided to charge a man approximately 4,235 miles from home. It happens quickly, and it happens slowly. His muzzle flashed, and the bear fell, and my father shit himself. Just kidding. I made that last part up. Stan, my father, sat down breathing heavy as the blood pooled and the smell of iron mixed with musk. It's a smell to not be forgotten. Now tell me again, how tough are you and how much do you lift, bro? The lesson. What does it mean to be truly dangerous? Civilize your mind, but make sure to make savage your body. Lesson number 2. Tell the truth, it's always easier. He walked into one of those good old country establishments that if you're from the East probably don't make a ton of sense. Big hats, straw floors, lots of whiskey, and Bud Heavies. He was doing the real estate on this here country bar. Except this bar was owned by a big-time country star. Names splashed on the building and everything. My father sat down drafting the paperwork to close the deal and help them open a series across the country. It was a raucous success. They got financing from private buyers, Italians to be particular, which was a tad funny given their gold chains and shiny loafers in a Western bar in Phoenix, Arizona. But hey, it's show business, right? Stan's the type of guy who has never met a stranger before, so while most people ignored the financiers to focus on the celebrity, Stan treated everyone like they all went to the bathroom just about the same way. Others wanted to ignore some of the particulars to push things through, but Stan was all about efficiency done right, and he talked them out of it. All closed, but they closed the deal the right way. Then one day, maybe a year later, he opened the paper. Plastered on the front was the photo of a man he'd come to know, who turns out was also known by the FBI as well. A hidden man with dark stories from mafia days on the East Coast. Turns out he was a muscle man of the most practiced sort. While the hunt went on for him, others had their deals fall through, and many others were scared for their lives. And, you know, for the feds to take too close a gander. You see, many people hadn't been as straight-laced as my father, but my dad, that's just not his style. He always said, tell the truth, the lies are harder to keep track of. I've never known him to not sleep like a baby. He remembers thinking back on when one of those Italians walked in and they were carrying a guitar case. Maybe the tune inside was a bit more violent. Lesson, tell the truth, even and perhaps especially when it's inconvenient. Lesson number 3. Just because it's popular doesn't mean it makes any damn sense. The house was brimming with people, and their glasses were brimming with liquid. That's what parties are, right? Except there's an image I'll always remember as a young girl, my father pouring drink to drink, his big smile, hugging and welcoming others, the way he made everyone feel like the most important person in the room, but most of all, how the drink in his hand was always a Mexican Coke, not to be confused with the watered-down fake sugar U.S. version, no sir. For as long as I can remember, he didn't drink alcohol. Life of the party, but the sober driver. For years, I'd get protective from people assuming he was an alcoholic. It was a time when being sober was a had to, not a chose to. He'd chuckle when people didn't believe his reasons. I'm not here to convince anyone of anything, he'd say. I asked him one day, truly, why? He said, because I don't want to. Life isn't for escaping, it's for living. And if I don't like a person enough to hang out with them without drinking, I'm not sure it makes much sense to drink until they get interesting. Lesson. From then on, I questioned, am I doing a thing because I want to or because everyone else is? Lesson number 4. You can't teach desire. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, he said to me, giving me a big hug. I was having a day. You know, one of those days as an entrepreneur where you're pretty sure everything is going to fall apart and it's your fault. The truth about people, Cody, he said, is that you never really make anyone do anything. They either choose to do it or they don't. And the moment you figure out how to find the people who already want what you're selling, well, that's the moment you'll never have to sell again. He took a long pull on his cigar as the fumes curled up into the desert moon. He continued, it's a funny thing about being the man in charge. I can tell you firsthand, people will be your greatest strength and the source of 99.9% of all your problems. Just expect most of them to not want it as bad as you do, and to try to bring them along with you anyway, he smiled. Great leaders at least give the horse a chance to drink, but they never force it down. Lesson. Help lead your people, but never drown them. Lesson 5. A cup of coffee and 4 chairs. The 4 chairs and the times we spent in them. If you walk into my parents' house, there is a heart. It lies beating in the center of the house. Its 4 chairs adorned in dark swirling fabric all facing one another. The heart draws you into it each time you enter, a vortex where ideas, debates, and discussions ring. The TV is far away, the radio is too. There's nothing to look at except the faces of our family. As long as I can remember, we've sat in those 4 chairs. It's where I learned to question things, to speak my mind, but to better be ready to defend what rattles out of it. If I could give a family one thing, it would be a 4 set of armchairs just deep enough to sink into them and the humans who can nestle alongside. Lesson. Your best moments may be seated right alongside those you love, trying to figure out the world together. Lesson 6. Will you really protect your people? Did you know 65% of restraining orders are violated? Skim the pages of papers to see women who were killed after filing restraints against those they usually at one time adored. Imagine one of your loved ones with a specter of a man who thought no was yes. In the West, we have something called outlaw law. It's found in no pages of legal doctrine. Its ways are tenuous and malleable, but it's a code. A code to protect the good and take care of the bad, even and especially when the law won't. The night was dark and her face was bloody, swollen, bruised, like an overripe peach. Her abnormally big blue eyes were lined in red, her blonde hair tangled with tears. She came to two trusted men, men who worked with their hands, men who knew how to hunt and how to protect. She was just looking for shelter, but they knew the shelter was temporary. As her eyes finally hit the pillow in sleep, the two men went hunting. The knight was set to have a talking to with a man who used fists instead of words. So they, quote unquote, sat him down in a chair with a story to tell, an hypothetical story of what happens to those who hurt those who can't fight back, of the right choice of choosing carefully the next decision made, of watchful eyes and complete conviction in purpose, if needed. Needless to say, the man was never heard from again. Cowards hide when the light is shined on them. What they did, most will never do. Lesson: taking responsibility, even when it's unpopular, is a scary thing. Yet sometimes it's the only thing to do. Lesson number 7. Surfing is really just surrendering. The waves crashed over his head again and again, a relentless onslaught like getting knocked into a corner with a boxer overhead. You've never felt what it's like to get stuck in between sets in the ocean if you haven't done it. Now just imagine. Imagine you like to breathe, then take it away. Imagine you like knowing up from down, then remove it. Imagine the sound of a jet engine churning all around you and the knowledge that coral and stones are waiting to punish a wrong move. He started with a jolt, his hands screaming in pain. He must have lost consciousness for a moment. Tempted by the mercurial mistress of surf, the sun barely coming up the horizon, he was alone, but he pushed through the pain. It happened so quickly, the fear doesn't creep in on you until you submerge. He was, after all, just searching in blackness. Was it up? Was it down? He grabbed a breath just to get beaten down again. His feet flew over his head. He tried to tuck to avoid the coral, but his main concern was finding more of that H2O that he previously, stupidly, took for granted. And the waves? Oh, they just kept on coming. He started to panic a little bit. Then he remembered something. Surrender. Just surrender. Breathing slowed, and after a few more gulps of that salty brine, the waves set him free. Finally reaching the shore, he lay still. Then he willed his eye to his hand. It wasn't a pretty sight. Two fingers were jammed so deep they looked like dark purple broken carrots. The whole thing was swollen and red. With a sigh, he bit down hard and with all his might wrenched them out. That sound that emerged next made him happy the first time that day that no one was around. Suffer in silence, they say, after all. Lesson: surrendering to the current, it's often the only way to win. Lesson number 8, circles. Growing up was hard in his day. His family immigrated from a war-torn, dictator-led Spain. They set up shop in a mining town in Arizona where the fumes from the copper sludge created a toxin-filled northern lights. Days were simpler and tougher all at once. You wanted wine? You better make it. You wanted meat? Off to hunt it. You wanted a toy truck? There's some wood and a chisel. My father was tasked with many a chore, but one day he was rewarded, a new pet, a little baby bunny rabbit. Its black and white coloring so soft in your hand you thought you might break it. Every morning he'd go in the garden, pulling lettuce and carrots to feed him. Each night he'd repeat the ritual. Days turned to weeks, and his bunny was not so little anymore. Maybe we'd get baby bunnies, he thought. One evening he went out for his evening ritual of lettuce and bunny pets. Empty cage. Frantically searching, he cried out to his grandpa, "Where's the bunny?" "Oh," his grandpa said, sort of nonchalant. "He was your meal we just enjoyed." His face said nothing as he moved to the next task. His grandfather wasn't a cruel man, just a man used to living on the land. My father, however, was a child. He ran out, tears streaming down his small cheeks. He said something to me later. "You will always remember your first kill. The first time you take a life, the first time something has to die to sustain you. It's the circle of life, but we've removed ourselves from it. Our cheeseburgers so far from the cow they came from." Lesson: the circle of life. Some things have to die so others can live. Lesson number 9, chains on knuckles. He walked home, his head hung low with shame, a tiny boy with the weight of the world on his shoulders. He knew he wasn't wanted. They told him as much. White versus Brown, Smith versus Sanchez. He was the later and they were the former. In old mining town, Miami, Arizona, a new school is being built. It wasn't as nice as the old one. It wasn't as big. It didn't have the papers and pencils and pens all around. It was for the Mexicans, the Latinos. And now he was going to have to go there. Which was no big deal, really. He didn't like school much. The outdoors taught more. But not liking it and not being welcome to it were two different things. He walked into his father's house, trying to stay quiet and small. "Why are you home from school so early, son? What'd you do?" He relayed the words of a teacher telling him he was Mexican and Mexicans weren't allowed there anymore. His father paused, and as he was known to do, he said, "Bleed just like the rest of them, don't we?" His father grabbed his tiny hand in his calloused one, his hat in his other, and oddly, a set of chains. As he walked down to the schoolyard, no words were spoken. Upon entering the school, he knelt down to the little boy and told him to wait right here. Then he sauntered over to the head of the school, the chains clinking as they wrapped around his big, meaty hand. His father had fought fascists and sailed oceans under servitude. A schoolteacher, he didn't seem to scare him much. The boy felt the tension in the air rippling. He never heard what words were spoken, but he'll always remember how the chains tightened alongside the tension until finally, eventually, they both seemed to relax away. Lesson: compliance is not always the only option. Bullies respond to strength, not rationality. Oh, and chains can be used to restrain and to break free, I suppose. Stop. This is the end of the story. But if you are searching for deals and run a biz or are a contractor, we've got some ideas for you. If you want to find a business or find a contractor to run your business, maybe some of these tweets will help you. At the bottom of the email, you can see three of the tweets that have made people money and helped people find ideas for building businesses. Last disclaimer, these are the stories told through my eyes. I'm sure there are holes filled incorrectly, but then again, never let the facts get in the way of a good tale is a Sanchez maxim. And time, it patinas everything. So question everything, stand up for what's right, and never fear struggle.